irrespective of political work that you are doing, because we are all politicians. Some of political work made us to be more vibrant, even if we do face challenges in the ground. But when we are coming here, our minds are fresh, because we must come and try to implement or try to minimize the problems of the communities which voted for us. There's nothing wrong that we must always go back to our constituency. Let me take this opportunity to welcome growing South Africa guests. I'm welcoming them all, because I've seen that outside you are having something like as if we're having a old pension day. The queue outside there were queering why today. Well, I'm suspecting that the whip of the committee will assist, and the leaders from another parties, that the improvement on that visit gate must be looked at. We can't not start our meetings because there is a queue. With the whip who's sitting in the whips of the party, and other party members from other parties, it must be addressed in the whips forum of all the parties of parliament. We cannot, because we'll be blaming these people that they didn't come in time, but because some of us have seen the queue. Let me take this opportunity to give this time to the president who is here, who's seen. We are lucky that the president is with us. The other people, they are going to join her or himself. I'm looking at Susan Love, Atlantic Commission. So, President, this is your opportunity to address us. This is the Committee of Sport and Recreation. It's Monday, but it's Tuesday. We always ask them that Mondays they must take even their last flights, in order that they must be in time, because we don't start if quorum is not there. In some instances, we'll be saying that visitors must sleep here in Cape Town, but if we are seeing the problem outside, you cannot even detect whether they are arriving this morning, because if you arrive last night, but in the morning we are stuck at the gate, that's one another thing. We have a young woman who is with us today, beautiful young woman who's coming from PMG, Kezi Mhlambi. You are welcome.
Thank you.
I've seen somebody there. I was not aware. I don't have your name with me, and these naughty little girls who are also honorable members, they are telling me who you are. Can you come?
My name is Kaya. My name is Kaya.
Kaya. Honorable members, the committees of parliament are allowed that everybody must come and listening in the presiding of committees. So there's no one who's not allowed to be in the committee room. Thank you that everybody's here. President, to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honourable members, thank you for the opportunity this morning. As Rowan South Africa, we really value the opportunity to come and tell you about the work that we're doing for rowing in South Africa and hopefully flying the flag for the country as high as possible when we represent. Joining me this morning, and they are nearly here, is Virginia Mabasu. And Virginia is a full-time employee of Rowing South Africa. She is the development officer, and she also holds a seat on our executive committee looking after development for rowing in South Africa. Also joining us this morning is Sizwe Ndlovu. Hopefully you recognize Sizwe from the London Olympic Games. Sizwe was one of the members of the four that won that wonderful gold medal in London. And to this day, is the only black African to hold a gold medal, to hold an Olympic medal in rowing in the world. So Sizwe for us is a treasure, and we're very lucky to have him now also serving on our executive. He heads up the Athletes Commission, he's only just been nominated to that position at our AGM in October last year, so we look forward to you know, his involvement in rowing. This morning I'll take you through just an overview and some of the achievements since we last spoke, and by that I mean when we spoke in 2013 to this committee, you asked us to speak to you after the London Olympics, and as I say, we're very honoured to be here this morning again after the Rio Olympics to come and tell you about what is happening in rowing. Virginia will talk to you about her transformation plans and her indoor rowing plans, which is our mass participation element of our sport. I'll talk to you about development and growth, as well as para rowing, which is rowing for our disabled population. And then Sizwe will talk about our preparation for Tokyo in 2020. I think from a format perspective, Madam Chair, you'll stop me at any time for questions, or we'll take questions at the end. I think it's as flexible as you would like us to be in terms of how we proceed with this morning.
Thank you so much. Because other people are not yet here, please, you must give your presentation. If you finish before they arrived, we're also going to pose questions, but we are always usually take all the presentations and then engagements on the presentations. But if you have finished, we'll be entertaining the discussion and questions to you.
Thank you. Okay. So maybe just a brief overview of rowing. There are many forms of rowing. The one that we're all used to seeing is sprint rowing, which is the Olympic type rowing. Rowing has been very successful and consistent in terms of bringing medals home from the Olympic Games in Athens, London and Rio. So we continue to deliver medals for South Africa, that is obviously the ultimate goal for many athletes, but I think this committee is more interested in what we're doing for our population here at home, and how we develop rowing locally to make sure that we build a very strong pipeline and deliver more Sizwe Ndlovu, which is what I keep asking the committee, is how are we going to find our next Sizwe? Rowing also has the disabled element of para rowing. Those are two of our para teams in the presentation, most notably Sandra, who is paralyzed from her waist down, and you see her there in her boat. Rowing really is a sport for all, and we also have a crew that has some blind and some other physically disabled elements to them. So we have a guy with the one leg, or athletes with cerebral palsy, and some of the mental disabilities also qualify for para row. Indoor rowing is another element of our sport, and this is the part that Virginia has been absolutely successful in terms of taking rowing to all the provinces in the country. So we boast that we are present in all 9 provinces of South Africa, and she'll talk to you a little bit more about her her experience and how she's managed to take rowing into the communities and how many districts she's involved in. So indoor rowing is rowing on a machine, as you can see there, some of the programs. We also have coastal rowing, which is a relatively new aspect to our sport, and I think given that South Africa has got a vast coastline, is something that we will focus on in the next 4 to 8 years. But we really do, as a body, look after all kinds of rowing in South Africa. From a governance perspective, or maybe just carrying on from an overview perspective, we are the sole governing sport governing body for the sport of rowing in South Africa. ROSA, as a federation, controls and administers all rowing and competition in South Africa, and that includes managing our national team for presentation to SASCOC when the teams do tour. We've participated in the Olympic Games since 1928, and I've mentioned already that we've brought home 3 medals since our readmission in Athens, London, and Rio. Maybe some of the highlights from the 2016 year. Rowing South Africa was nominated for 5 categories at the South African Sports Awards: for Federation of the Year, Administrator of the Year, which was Virginia, and actually won Administrator of the Year in 2015, so we were very proud of her to have been met to be a finalist 2 years running. School Team of the Year, who actually won. They were from St. Benedict's College, and they won as a result of their bronze medal at the World Championship. Team of the Year, which was our silver medalists from Rio, and a Volunteer of the Year in one of our volunteers. Probably what we're most proud of in 2016 is, and I'll touch on it later, is we have the best coach in the world. Now that sounds like a bit of a cliche, but Roger Barrow, for those of you who've come across Roger's name, won the World Coach of the Year last year. World Coach of the Year in an Olympic year. Probably one of the hardest years to win it. So we're very proud of Roger's achievement. I actually wanted Roger to be here this morning, but he's in Lesotho at the moment at a high altitude training camp with the national team. So he was here in 2013, but couldn't join us today. We also won the Lesama Award, which was an award by Marion Roberts for our para program. On to the governance. We have a council, and I'll skip the slide and go straight onto that. We have a council which is made up of our various constituencies. Our main constituencies are our provinces, where we have water rowing and indoor rowing, so 9 provinces. We only have, at the moment, 5 official provinces registered with us, and that's just because some of the indoor rowing provinces aren't properly constituted yet, and we're working towards getting them registered with us. We have a constituency for junior clubs, schools, universities, and then all our commissions. And I'll talk about our commissions on the next slide. And maybe just a point there is when I was at the EPG report release, and we spoke, afterwards, some of the codes of sport, 19 or so codes, spoke afterwards with the minister and Dr. Basson. We are one of the only sports in South Africa where schools sit on our executive, and it makes a huge difference. And I would encourage, and I have encouraged, other federations to consider how they set up their governance to allow schools a place at the table, because schools play a big role in helping us grow sport in South Africa. Just then, the executive. We have our development officer, our development officer Virginia celebrates her 10th year with Rowing South Africa, and that is phenomenal for any rowing, or for any administrator. So, and you'll hear from Virginia just now just how passionate she is about what she calls teaching the nation to row. And you'll see some of the passion that comes through. And then we have our commissions. We have an international commission, probably the busiest commission within Rowing South Africa, given our activity on the international circuit. We have an athletes commission, which Sizwe heads up, and is responsible for the growth of rowing athletes in South Africa. We have an umpires commission. We have a facilities and environment commission, which really mirrors our international federation, which says we must look after the waterways that we row on, and that's why we have a facilities commission. And then we also have a coaches commission, which is a requirement of SAFCOC, and actually does some great work in terms of making sure we educate coaches across the country in terms of preparing athletes for competition. Achievements since 2013, and I'll be very brief. This is a slide that we presented to you in 2013, and I've colored them red, amber, and green, depending on how well I think we've done, or how well we think we've done in certain areas, or where we've made some progress. Certainly, our para and our national team have done us proud in the four-year cycle, so I've marked that green. The officials' training and support, I can tell you that we have one of the most qualified sets of umpires on the continent, no doubt, but in the world as well. We have no less than 7 qualified international umpires, and in a small country like ours, that is phenomenal. So we're very proud of our level of umpiring and technical ability that we have in South Africa. The three bubbles that I marked yellow was our Learn to Row Rural program and our university program. And I mark them yellow because I don't think they'll ever be green. And they won't ever be green because you can never stop doing this. And we will continue to teach as many kids that want to rowing as we can find. And that for us is important. Leading on from that is the capacity building and the development of effective administration and foundation level coaches. In a similar way, and here are my colleagues, in a similar way, I don't think that work will ever be complete, but I mark it yellow because that certainly is something that we are proud of and have moved. Hello, guys. There you go. Nice. And then, of course, the establishment of junior rowing clubs supported by our national infrastructure. Now, that's a big bubble, and it should be probably the whole screen, and that the next wave of where the development will come from won't be schools. It will be junior clubs that we can support across the country with the funding that we get from our various funders. The only one marked in red is the Olympic course, and this is really just an infrastructure item. You know, one day maybe we'll get to a point where we're able to build a beautiful course in South Africa, but we're not there yet. And we certainly aren't asking for anyone to build us one at the moment. We're doing fine without it, but it would obviously be great if we got to that point. Maybe some of the highlights. I've already touched on many of the highlights from 2016 already. The highlight for us must be the silver medal in Rio for our federation, one of the few sports to bring home a medal, and as I say, consistently bringing home medals across the Olympic Games. The other highlight in 2016 was Roger Barrow's award for Coach of the Year. We really are proud that we have Roger in our midst. Maybe just a comment on Roger. Roger was offered a job by 3 large federations around the world. 2 of them I know was Canada and Australia, and Roger chose to stay in South Africa and make it work in South Africa. So we chuffed about the fact that Roger chose to continue working here. I gave you a slide of some clips of maybe just what, you know, some of the things that we were proud of. Maybe in 15, the women's lightweight double won a bronze medal and came fourth at the Olympic Games. And maybe if I just go to the Olympic Games very quickly, we sent 5 crews to the Olympics. Very few countries in the world qualified 5 boats for the Olympic Games. Big rowing nations like Germany, Canada, New Zealand qualified boats, some of them as many as 5, but there are very few countries in the world that qualified 5 boats for the Olympic Games. And we are the only country to boast all boats that went to the Games made the top 5. So we didn't bring home as many medals as we maybe would have wanted to, but we were top 5 in the world in every single boat that we took, which we were quite proud of. And maybe just the other comment on diversity, certainly from a gender perspective, is that our team in Rio was nearly 50-50 with 3 men's boats and 2 ladies' boats. And it was the first time that we've managed to field 2 ladies' boats at the Olympic Games. So very proud of the fact that we managed to qualify two women's boats at the Olympic Games. 2014 was a big year for us. The two gentlemen on that slide 19 are still the current world record holders in the lightweight men's double. So they set that record in 2014, and they still hold that record today, which we were proud of. And in 2013, which was the year after London, very good results, particularly from our para squad with our LTA, which stands for legs, trunks, and arms, so the body parts that they're allowed to use. Won a bronze medal at the World Championships in 2013. But like I said, I'll be brief on the achievements. I think our achievements have been really good, and we continue to be proud of our teams that we managed to send over. Just moving on then to this slide, which tries to, at a very high level, talk about our goals for 2017 through to the Tokyo Olympic Games, which is what are the 3 things that we are working on. And they're quite broad, and I think they have to be, and then we get into the specifics later. We focused on 3 things. It used to be 2, and I'll explain the 2 and then the 3. Transformation and development. We understand, and I think TPG made it very clear in a very succinct way, that to choose the best teams in South Africa, we have to involve the whole population of South Africa. So that for us is very, very important. We have to identify talents which could feed the system, and we have to provide access to all junior athletes where schools do not offer rowing. We know that that is important. We have to maximize the throughput to make sure that we get onto number 3, and I'll skip 2 for a moment, to get onto number 3, where we'd like to win more medals for you. We'd like to produce national teams that go out there and win more medals for our country and make us all proud as a sport. But it has to start. So if you think about the color green represents the grassroots level that we have to work at, and the color yellow has to represent the goal that we try and go and win for this country. Now, you can't do it without the middle. And the middle is a new one that we've added from our strategy session in December last year, and that's passion. We have, and I'm sure every sport that sits in front of you tells you that they have tremendous passion for their sport. And we need to harness that, because everybody is passionate about their sport. And it's amazing what support you can get from parents, from any kinds of supporters for little Johnny, little Mary, little whoever who's rowing. You can harness that support and help grow. And I think that becomes very, very important for us. So we've put passion in the middle there, because I think without that, you don't get from 1 to 3. And that's essentially why that slide is so important. When I do talks around the country, I put up 1 slide, and this is the slide that I put up around what we are doing and what's important for rowing in South Africa. The 3 bars at the bottom really just demonstrate that it's across all disciplines and across all levels of diversity, gender, disability, and it goes without saying race as well. This slide, and it didn't come out very well, just talks to you about how we get there. We made up of indoor rowing, schools, universities, and clubs. Technical officials, coaches, and para rowing sits across all levels. That essentially makes up ROSA. And we move into the green circle, which is our transformation and development. And if we get that right, we move on to more medals. The red circle over the whole diagram really just demonstrates that we need to show passion across all disciplines. On page 24, and the slide up on the screen at the moment really just talks to a high-level budget, and this is a wish list more than anything else, because we are heavily dependent on funding from the Department of Sport and Recreation, SASCOC for our national team, and the Lottery Council, which we have relied on in the past for support. We've broken that down into talent identification and preparation for the games, so that's really just about the athletes, then technical support and infrastructure, and that is how we've broken it down. I would, if I was looking at this, only really focus on number one, which is really talking to the athletes, and you'll see that we start off with our Learn to Row program, our rural Learn to Row program, which is key to identifying talent and moving athletes through the system, and ends with our national squad participation and competition. So that really is the overview. I'm going to ask Virginia then to talk to you about her development and transformation initiatives and work that she does, and then I'll take over and talk about growth and development again from a rowing club perspective.
I'm sharing. That's me who's supposed to tell what is next. Switch off President Daddy Mike.
Thank you.
Good morning, latecomers.
Good morning, I'm ready for
Please wait. Your president did tell us what happened. If we did believe him. If it's true that we're stuck in the queue outside, let alone that we don't know when did you arrive. You were stuck at the airport, or you were part of people who were stuck at the gate. We've heard that you're stuck outside of the gate. This morning was seen as if it's all persons, people, pensions, fortune for FNB. We had taken the approach because we've seen ourselves. So we've heard that Virginia Mabaso is going to present development as a development officer. And we've been told why you are here, while you are part of rowing. First and foremost, we will ask you to tell us about yourself, because we have heard about you. And then the next person who's here joining us is Susan Rove, that we have heard that over Athletics Commission, and we have heard why are you here. And with the good news that the president has told us about you guys. Now, you are welcome. The committee was already accepted your apologies. Can we start with you, Virginia Mabaso? This is the Committee of Sport and Recreation. After all your presentation, we'll be asking questions. We would love you to tell us your challenges through your presentation, and we'll ask questions. We're going to give some advices, but the most important thing is to know and hear, because we've told that you are all in 9 provinces. You must not forget this committee, that it's a committee that wants transformation. If you are in 9 provinces, make sure that these members will ask you in which areas in provinces. The involvement of rural, maybe there's this thing of that most of the time I'm saying that we are not on the land, we are on the sea. And then you will tell us, what do you do about those who are in the rural areas where there's not even a dam nor a pool, let alone about sea. So I'm trying that you must just open, tell us what you are doing. We know that some of things we've heard from your president. Now is the time that you must tell us. Welcome, Honorable. Let come today for the first time, Honorable Bergman.
Sorry.
With those words, Virginia, that's your platform. Feel free to talk to us.
Thank you, Chair. I am Virginia Mabasa.
Is your mic on?
I am Virginia Mabasa, born and bred in Jerere from the greater far north of Limpopo. A Venda girl, village girl that came into rowing in 2007 and was surprised myself. It's been a very good 10 years with the Federation, so I'll take you through my 10 years as we go along in the presentation and you can get to hear how much 10 years has impacted my life as I've impacted the communities out there in all the nine provinces. So allow me to take you through what I do with Rowing South Africa, and it's been lovely 10 years, I must say. I will be presenting to you our development plan and the tool we've been using to drive my participation in all the nine provinces. As you all know, rowing is a water sport, and we realize that in all previously disadvantaged areas, we had not had rowing in the past 5 years, and now we do. And you would ask me a question as we go along, that how do we do it on where we have no water and where there's no boats. So indoor rowing was a concept that we have identified in 2006, which was initiated in 2007 to drive mass participation and development in the country. And we have implemented rowing in all the nine provinces through indoor rowing. And with indoor rowing, it's not limited to water or either boats. We have internet software that we can connect with all our rowers across the country in all the nine provinces, or we can even have connections with people in our European countries, and we just log on our schools online and everybody can get to see what is happening in South Africa, and we can get to see what is happening on the other side. So indoor rowing on its own is huge, and in our strategic session we ratified it as a code on its own, knowing that it's a world championship event, and we know that our kids, one of the good years, will get to participate in that platform as we go along. And the main objective for this program was to create an active indoor rowing program, and obviously to meet the goals of the national sports plan, which was to diversify our coach and to take it to all our communities and make it accessible to all. And in that we would have reached all the objectives of the national sports plan. And the slide in front of you is our demographic reach. These are the areas that we have reached. And you will see that in 2013 to 2016 what we've done. And the last time we were sitting in front of this committee was 2013 in February, where we presented our previous strategic plan, which delivered 2016. So this is what we have done on the indoor rowing part, and this is how we have transformed our code, and these are the districts that we've reached. So in South Africa, we know that we have 52 districts, and with rowing, we have reached 17, including water rowing. And in as much as some provinces have got a lot of districts, like KZN and Joburg, and in the case, so we are working in progress in all these other areas. So on indoor rowing. So you would see that in 2012, we are just going to run through an overview of what we've done and where we still want to go. We presented that we would be in Northern Cape and start 8 schools. We started 6 of those. We will be in Free State Mangaung and start 4 schools. We started 3 of those. And Northwest in Rustenburg, we have not gone there yet, still part of our plan. And in Limpopo, we mentioned to start 4 schools. We've started 1 in Bembe, which is a new district. And what is not showing there, we've started a Capricorn district with the 2 schools there. So in total, in Limpopo, we would have 5 schools with our 2 current existing in Mopane district. In the Eastern Cape, we had mentioned that we would start 4 schools. We started 3 in Umtata, which is the Chris Hani Oar Tambo district. And we started 3 in Queenstown, which is the Chris Hani district. In Mpumalanga, in Witbank, we mentioned to start 4. We have started 2. So if we review our plans that we promised to the previous committee in 2030, we have delivered 80% of it, I could say, and we are still going to reach all the other districts in the provinces as we go along. And you'll see the numbers there. These are the total number of participants. We have got district reach, and we've got the clubs that we've started, and we have participants, and we have gender split. So you can see that we've involved everyone, and the most exciting part is that about this program is that we have not made it a ROSA program, we have made it a community program. By involving the coaches from the community that we employ and come and work on the program and work in school as coaches. And teachers that are employed by the school, they work as managers in the school to ensure high level of administration as we go along. So these numbers show that we really are working. And to always make sure that our kids are excited, everybody wants to look forward to something, and everybody wants to win something. So we expose them to competition. We have a progressive calendar, which starts from school challenge, which all the kids come in and jump in on the ego. Those who win the fastest times, they progress to provincial challenge. We host development camps. So development camps are really exciting for us because this is where we introduce the kids that are participating on indoor to water rowing. In as much as we've ratified indoor rowing as a code on its own, we still give them an opportunity to have a feel on the water. Someday there will be like seaway, 8 years to come, 4 years to come. So this is where they get a feel of how it is to be like on the water. Me myself, I started rowing myself, so I had that thought. And for me to tell the kids that jump on the water, I know the experience, I know how it feels, it's really exciting. And then they progress to ESSA Schools Champ regatta, and which this regatta is the regatta that we're going to be rotating in all our provinces where the clubs are. And the idea here is to promote the code, to involve the district municipalities, to involve the communities, the parents to come in and actually watch the kids, what they're doing when they say they are staying behind for rowing training. And then we have indoor rowing expos. This is how we start new areas. You know, we all know that a lot of people, in as much as we've won a gold medal in 2012, we've won a silver medal in 2016, we've qualified, we've been in the news so much, there are still communities that don't know about rowing. So when we go to these communities and run expos and a rowing challenge, this is how we sort of demonstrate and put our egos outside. We have teams that come and demonstrate as to what is rowing. When they see it in action, they can get to understand, and then all the schools that we've invited in that area to say, we want to bring rowing into your school, they come to, they see, and they go back and discuss with their school governing bodies and make a decision based on what they've seen happen and how competition works out for us. So that's why we run the indoor rowing expos. And then we've got a St. Andrew's regatta. This is our last competition in the year, which is where our indoor rowing kids get to be integrated with the rowing masters, all the juniors, and they get to participate with them on EGO, and they get to test their strength, their ability, and how fast they can be on comparing to all the rowers in the country. And this was the best day for this program, I must say. We hosted our last year 2016 National Indoor Rowing Championships in Kimberley. For the first time, this is when we had taken it out from housing. And to address that issue that where the kids come from, the community must get involved, must know what they're doing, they must assist us where they can, with resources and that. And this, we had planned it very well, and the kids actually participated and did a wonderful job. The program is very diverse. We have got all the 9 provinces, all languages, different cultures, and we had done an opening ceremony for this championship for the first time. all the groups have done their traditional dances as an opening ceremony. And it was really, it's a pity we don't have a video for you guys to see, but when the kids were doing their traditional dances, it was just amazing to see. For me, that's when I realized that I had done my job. You know, you have united different cultures, you've united different people, languages, race. With us, there's no difference in color or race. So, I mean, you will see there's a group from Eastern Cape, there's a few people of color and whites that were doing the Xhosa dance. It was really nice to see. They didn't say, no, I can't do a Xhosa dance. So they just knew that they are from Eastern Cape, they will do the Eastern Cape culture. So we have achieved two things, which is to unite these kids, even if they come from different parts of the world, and also to create relationships among them. One important thing is that when they travel, you teach your kids how to survive in a foreign space by exposing them to such. You know, so they share rooms, they can't speak each other's languages. At some point they came to my room and said, ma'am, I can't communicate with her. And like, okay, all of you can write and read English, right? In as much as all of you can speak English, a child from Kimberley, when she speaks English, it has a Zosi Dao, a Zwana Dao, and a child from Northwest, when she speaks Zwana in English, is totally different. They can't hear each other, but they are speaking Zwana. So I said to them, take a note, take a paper, write each other notes, and you can read each other's notes, and this is how you communicate. So I sent them back to their room, this is how you're going to communicate. And from that onwards, they share rooms and this is how they communicate. So you know that you're addressing much more than just sports on the field. So this is what this program this day has meant for us. And coaches, as I've explained, we involve the communities when we introduce the coach to a different area or a new area. We would ask the teachers in school to help us identify people within the community that we can train and they can work as coaches in that program. And we all know that development without somebody that is permanently looking after it, it won't survive. If we don't continuously pay our coaches to coach the kids in these schools, it won't survive. So we've involved the communities in that manner that the coaches are picked from the community and they come and work in the school, they get involved in that, which addresses one of the objectives in the course plan, which is to involve and create employment as we go along and developing our code in all the areas. The slide shows you exposure to competition. This is during the camps. We run three camps in a year. One in East London, so which the learners from Queenstown and Umthazo will meet in East London to do Xhosa, and two will be in Joburg and have two different groups that will be coming in those camps because it's group has grown so much. So you can't run a camp of 300 kids in one weekend. It won't be effective. You won't launch all the boats at once, and you won't see how well the kids will be doing because they wouldn't have enough time on the boat. So if we split them into three, we are able to give all the three groups a chance to be on the water longer. Also, we do ego sessions in those camps. And as you can see, that coaches that are coaching on water permanently, I mean on a day-to-day basis, they come in when we run development camps and they assist with our kids because it's a huge group, so we work together, it's a teamwork. So we've got a coaching commission that actually comes in and say, we will give you so much coaches, how many do you need and how many kids do you have, and we work it out in that manner. So resource-wise, in terms of expertise and coaching, I think as a federation we've covered that base quite well, and our commission is really doing great work into assisting with this program. And future goals from 2016 and 2020, we set a 5-year, and based on our demographic reach, the previous slide that we discussed at the beginning, we have 52 districts in South Africa. We've only reached 17. We'll still have 32 to still reach. So this is how we break down the numbers as to how many districts we would do a year in what period. And by then, we know that by the end of 2020, we would have reached all of the communities, and we can proudly say, yes, we have reached all the districts. We may have reached all the provinces, but we still need to reach all the balance of the 32 districts in the country. And the most exciting one, you know, in our previous presentation when we came here, you were asked what is the conversion process from water rowing to indoor rowing. I mean, from indoor rowing to water rowing. And last year we have done our first conversion process for teams in Northwest. They were rowing in half the pace, which we have got a team of people that will be assisting those kids going forward at the half the pace gym. And the list of rowing water facilities that are listed up there, these are water facilities that are based in all the areas which are rowable water, because we don't just row in any river, or it must be specific distance and it must be rowable not to damage our rowing equipment. So these are the rowable water facilities that we've identified in all the areas, in all the provinces, which means that to convert all our indoor rowing clubs, it is possible, it's going to be doable as we go along. We may not do it all in 1 year or in the next 4 years, but I'm sure that by the end of the next Olympic cycle, we would have done a little bit much more conversion of this, but we will still continue to roll on Ego as well. And sitting with the man himself in the room, our first gold Olympian in 2012, it's really exciting to be talking about this slide, because from introduction to rowing, they first sit on the egg, so the first picture there with a little boy, very excited, and they learn to swim, they are put on water, they look forward to winning medals at school champs, any competitions that we run, and the ultimate goal being winning a gold medal or representing our country at Olympic level. That is the greatest feeling. I think Peter will tell us how he felt winning that medal when he starts presenting. And the progression to that is introduction by teaching the nation to row. This has been our hashtag that we've been posting, running by the past 5 years, and we'll still continue with that until we reach all the districts in South Africa. So we teach the nation to row, we expose them to competition, we run development camps, which there will be a development team that will come and identify talent as to whether do they meet the requirements, are they producing the time that is required by the team and the nation. And we would expose them to regular water training sessions. They will join the elite rowing team, development squad, place the rowers in institution. And this one we have done it previously. And we had had 4 kids from our indoor rowing program, the first pilot program when we ran in Giani. They were placed at the University of Pretoria. One of them, Akane Makamu, got to represent in the Youth Olympics. So kids are looking forward to being selected, to be safe somewhere, to progressing to the next level, and to getting those rowing opportunities as we go forward. And one of those good days, they'll make a career out of it, or they'll win a medal and tell the world and become a greater story in the world. And talent identification as we speak, and then join part of and be part of the senior team, and ultimately roll the Olympics. I think it's every athlete's dream to qualify and roll the Olympics and win a medal. And our budget, this is our annual budget, what it costs us to effectively run the program. And the biggest part of this program goes to coaches' stipends. And you may be surprised by the bigger amount on coaches' program, whereas government funding would specifically say certain percentage should not go to salaries, certain percentage goes to administration. So our challenge is that, as I've explained, that with development program, if you don't have permanent people that are based in those areas, that program won't survive. It will start, when we leave, it will die. So we have to sustain our payments to coaches so that the program can survive and be successful. And you'll see that school competition is what costs us most. 2.2 million goes to competition. These are the kids that come from very poor families, which we cannot expect them to be paying for any tour that they take. It's few families that would say, yes, we can, and most of them, they can't. And therefore, we have to offer equal opportunities to all the kids to say we can't deprive them because one child can't afford and one child can. So we have to offer equal opportunities to all our kids and be able to participate. And facility setup. We buy egos which are exported and brought into the country, so the cost becomes a little bit higher there. because we supply all the equipment to all the schools, and all the schools, they know that the equipment remains rolling for Africa while they still participate. If the school stops, we move the equipment to the next willing school to be part of the program. So, and an inspirational story to all our kids. You know, all our kids, he just spends time with us most of the time when we run camps. He will travel with me there and there. And to travel with Caesar, and when he gets to these communities, the excitement the kids have seeing Caesar. It's like seeing themselves winning that medal at the Olympics. He represents them. And if you could do it, they also believe that they can, and I do believe that they can. So it's a very inspirational story for rowing, and I would say that he has done a great deal for rowing in the 16 years that he has been involved with rowing. And Caesar, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. That is the end of my presentation.
Thank you, Virginia. I wanted to go into engaging questions. Now I'm calling the Mzansi Golden Stroke to talk to us. Tell who he is, and then must present whatever you want to tell us as an athlete commissioner. The nearest mic to you, and then this other one must be switched off. Talk to us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Izwe Lawrence Ndlovu, and once again, thank you for accepting our apologies. Sizwe was born in Johannesburg, Baragwana Hospital, and bred in rural areas of Newcastle and Volksrad in Mpumalanga. So my father's from Newcastle, my mother's from Volksrad. How rowing came about to me, I moved into Johannesburg in 1996. My mother was a domestic worker there, obviously working and supporting us back at home, same with grandparents. So it came to you that I came to visit her during holidays, and I don't want to go back to home. So I said to her, please ask your boss so that you can school here and see better features of education was better and join us back in the co-ed school. And so luckily her boss said yes, you can go ahead and land it up in Monyo. So the area is called Monyo, it's in Johannesburg South. And when I got there, at the school, as a raw elder boy, sports was so many, so you had choices to choose from, and you were also encouraged to do sports. And I did all the summer sports, I did all the winter sports, and rowing just caught my eye. And bear in mind, at that time, obviously none of us concerned, because we all know our parents, but then, because you know, you don't know what's going to happen. We all could not swim, so we had to go through this. Swimming, played water polo at school, and I was taught to play the game, and eventually I ended up in rowing. And luckily when I got into rowing, the late Mr. Tom Price, he was the headmaster, and he had been the junior national team manager, and he said, I'm looking for kids like you. And he saw the potential, and I must say, his commitment, continuous support, and ensured a solid foundation, and that's where my Olympic dream began. I was born. I've been involved with Virginia with this program since last day in June. I was part of the elite squad. I was training for Rio. And due to the hip injury I had, and I had to go for a hip, not a replacement, labrum repair. And so I had to be out, and I missed out on the Olympics. After that, in July, when I started walking again, and I got involved with rowing South Africa and just being involved in the development program, and that's where it started to be involved in rowing. But I'll start with the mission of the rowing, South African National Rowing. The program during the cycle for 2017 and 2020 to prepare and train the squad of elite rowing athletes and senior para under-23s, juniors, and student levels in order for them to compete at the international level, culminating in the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games with the purpose of ensuring those athletes make a final and win medals.
Sorry, can I just interrupt a few seconds? So you'll see we've skipped over some slides into the last section, which is the preparation for Tokyo. I will come back and talk about some of those other slides as well. I didn't want to break either.
Which
page are we talking
about? Page 4. Strategy will be page 5. The strategy of the South African National Rowing Program is to continue building an elite rowing squad with an attitude and culture of winning and performing at the international level. Based on the success of the last cycle, 2013 and 2016, the development of the athletes has 4 phases, comprising elite development, customization, selection and consolidation, with particular emphasis on transformation and requiring a strong support team using current best practices in training and coaching, sports science and medical care of athletes, as well as using the best quality equipment possible. Just a basic high performance structure. We have currently running, which has been working for the past 2 cycles, Roger Barrow, who is the high performance national coach, and on the left as well is the main coach. Under him it has assistant coaches and volunteer coaches. I must say we have volunteer coaches, which is Paul Jackson, and he also contributed into the success of the 2012 model. And he's been involved with us. He's been a coach since, I'm not too sure what years ago, but he coached the Cruz 96 and 2000 Olympics. So when I was in grade 8, 96, watching Atlanta Penny Hands and Josiah Tumwona win medals, Paul Jackson was coaching there, and I think our crews came last in the A final. So moving to the right of the diagram, we have the high performance coach for the women, which is at the moment Andrew Grant, and next to him was the high performance coach for the adaptives, for the para rowers. And they also have assistant coaches between the national level, the new under-23s assisting them. And it's all linked under the sports science and medical, which I'll get through to it in the next few slides. And then on top we have our impact coach. We have a guy called Gianni from Italy. He comes once and then to obviously help out with Roger as under FISA, Rome Federation, to assist with the outside looks or outside information, and we learned a lot from him. We have a very centralized approach. The national squad is based at HPC, Tuck Sport. Our water training is done at Rodeflight Dam every day, and the gym and your land trainings are done at High Performance Center. We are monitored there by every day. It says on the slide here 320 days, but I can tell you it doesn't feel like a 320 days, it's 365 days, because of those 2 weeks off, you're off a year. Your coach will be asking you to send your splits and record your training. Our para rowers are based at University of Johannesburg and Victoria Lake. So that's where they do their water session university at Victoria Lake in Germiston East. Our power rowers race a distance of 1,000 meters compared to the senior rowers, but in the past meeting that one attended in Tokyo, I think it's been changed to 2,000 meters, which I'm sure they'll be coming to Pretoria as well. Our sub elite athletes, which is at under 23s and your student level, development is in regions, and they follow a structure, our structural national training program, and they do attend quarterly training programs. As we speak, our development squad is at the Institute for High Altitude Camp with our development coaches and our national coach, Roger Vera. And our junior athletes at the developing schools and clubs, training and physiology is carried from senior structures. So your junior nationals, obviously, with the schools, are only able to join us during school holidays, but obviously they try and do the training of the schools and fit in the training. Next slide, our new cycle for 2017 and 2020. Training is well underway. As I mentioned, the squad is under the situ. You'll see the picture below, which is Tabo, a junior from KES, and the guy in front of him is John Lang. Joffin, sorry. Luke Defon. They are at the training squad. Last year they raced, they won the B final, which is 7th. And they are now, one of them is moving to under 23s, and Tower Tato is still a junior for this year. So they're all part of the national squad that's training at the IELTS. The young kids are all motivated and excited for the new cycles, and obviously wanting to become the Susan Globus and the John Smith, which is very exciting. And there is an open door, I think, for this year that's open. It's open to everyone that wants to join the squad. And the aim, as I said, is to build the expertise and develop culture of winning. Our athletes development has 4 phases. Phase 1, elite development of an athlete with a focus on raising the standard of rowing in an athlete and formation of broad elite and a 23rd university squad from which crews will be later selected. And phase 2 is adjusting and customization of the athlete to a more elite level of rowing with exposure to the philosophy of ethics of training. Phase 3, crew formation, where selections are done, and for the tours that's to be done. We have 3 World Cups a year for the senior national squad, and they change all in Europe, and World Champs are every year. So 3 World Cups and World Champs, because 4 events happen every year. And depending on the budget, Roger and the IC will see which event we go to. And normally we stay at home, use the C2 camp. This is the best facility there for your altitude camp. And our next facility is low altitude, which is Sanin, at the Sanin Dam. The only challenge there is we have the vehicles, but they do make us go fast. Phase 4, we have the consolidation of crews and work up to the World Championships. So also that is done during training and on camps. The next slide is my picture there, 2012, and John behind me of the celebration after the race. Moving to characteristics. To be at the air level where we are, our gold medal standards, we need a technical skills. Running is technical sport. So there's a lot of technical skills we learn from the coaches and outside expertise as well. Personality traits, focus, discipline, persistence, sometimes just a duck and long and not knowing why you're doing that. And obviously we have a goal, which is passion, love of the sport. You keep going. And a lot of sacrifices as well. And physiology, endurance, and strength. And gym matching. So you've got to be able to work with and got to be a team player as an individual, and compromising also falls into that. Current state is the next slide. Current state, physical state is condition of the body, athlete's body. Current technical state, technical excellence. Most importantly, the psychological state as well. It's belief, attitude, winning mentality, and being hungry obviously to win. Ability to interact, team dynamics. When this is aligned, the gold medal performance is achieved. And IT support. Talking from experience, I'll talk from experience on this slide. A full-time support for athletes is needed. Athletes range from 19 to 33 years of age, and by 2012 I was 31. And to be sitting where I was, a full-time athlete, no job, and relying on chasing a goal, obviously, to go to the Olympics and present your country and make the country proud. And we struggle having support. We obviously have SASCOC and lottery. As an athlete, obviously the structure is there, but you need to eat, you need to train, your medical aid expenses, transport, and all I can mention the long list. It was a challenge for us, but obviously it was made possible, we made it through. And today we still have those debts, but irrespective of it all, we still keep pushing. It's growing our passion, my passion. And some of those kids are there and also going, so when you talk to the kids, we try obviously emphasize, you know, do it because you love it, and push to get out where, to get them out of the situation that they are when we go with Virginia to detention, because they obviously see Ryan, and who is Lawrence? When they see Israel Lawrence, oh, he comes from this rich family, and how did he do Ryan? You have to explain to the kids, can't just take a fright, commitment, you've got to be persistent, remember why you do it. And career and athlete development is created, psychological care during and post-career. So under the sports science medicine in Pretoria, we have psychologists, we have a doctor, permanent doctor that's there, and we're lucky to have that, and we haven't had that prior to that. I've been running for 19 years, and in the first few cycles from 2005 to 2008, and prior to that, when I was 2001 to 2004, we were challenged on not having suspects. We didn't have all of that, to have a doctor, to have a full-time coach. All the coaches that were there were just volunteers. So we had to find, while I was at varsity, I had to be working at the same time, study at the same time, so that I could pay my expenses and bills and do what I love to do, which is right. So that was a challenge for us, and throughout the years, having been based at HPC, has been in place. So we have a medical and a physiological support, and financial, considering going back to up before 2012, we struggled a lot, and we're still going through that. Budget constraint, at present, we still have dire straits financial situation, despite winning the gold in 2012. As mentioned earlier, Sundays are dark, Sundays are long. You know, you would think after winning a medal, everything would be much better. You would have, you know, your sponsorships, everything in place, but we still struggle with that. The numbers have grown in schools, young kids have taken up rowing, and we're still struggling with that. Despite the importance of this period in the development of winning crews, says that, and coach's salary, and I'm sure coach, Sean will speak about that later as well. There hasn't been any increase. And talking from experience, obviously, with the support from Rosa, even from the 5,000 a month, and the cost is going up every year. Now, 16 years down the line, and you're still earning 5,000 rand. So you can keep that in mind where it puts you. The required budget for Top Pure 2020, I'll leave that to Sean to speak about. And for the Para Tokyo Olympics. And lastly, international prospect. It is exciting and motivated period for us at the moment. Lots of youngsters are interested in rowing, and there's a lot of limited crews are coming up, all the regions, and we have, as far as we have in the city, they're all coming from different regions. So it's good to see that. Huge potential for excellence, and need ongoing support from community, federation, government, and opportunity to be the best in the world is that, more importantly, we're there to make our nation proud. Thank you.
Thank you, Sisu. Thank you, President. Members, this is your time to interact. Ha ha. This is the time that must interact with the all presentations. You know why I'm laughing, Honorable Bergman? I'm seeing the way that your hand you raise it up like this. So that's why I'm laughing. Honorable Mhlongo, the slides who said they must keep it, will come back to it. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you, Honorable President.
Thank you to the committee, and thank you to Virginia and Cesare. I think the way we, and sorry for jumping around, but the way that we did it was take you from the grassroots that Virginia's work does, and the other side, which is really the high performance side, which is where Lawrence comes from, and you can see that, you know, what that trajectory is. If I can take you back to some of the slides in the middle, and I'm sorry that we jump around, but maybe just talk very quickly because I'm conscious of time. What we do from Virginia's program, and this is slide 44. Is we, you know, from Virginia's program, which is in the rural areas and how we get mass participation, and we're nearly at, 3,000 registered rowers through all our various programs. What we need to do, though, is we need to identify talent. Virginia's program is there to bring as many people to the sport as possible, and then we have to identify talent to start at least getting more kids onto the water. So we've identified regional junior rowing club development as a major cornerstone and backbone to transformation within rowing South Africa. But similarly to Virginia's program, it needs a very dedicated level of coaching staff and management of those clubs, predominantly done by volunteers, to make sure that is successful. Where we have been successful is certainly the Soweto Rowing Club in Johannesburg, Peninsula Girls in the Western Cape along with Grassy Park, which has happened here in the Western Cape, and then the Marto and SWAT Corps, which are two flagship programs in the Eastern Cape. And now I'm talking about water rowing as opposed to Virginia's programs that have been on the indoor rowers. The other one that is starting to show good bearing is the Kumashi program in KZN, which is sending kids to Durban to row as well. So we've seen some success on the conversion and setting up of junior clubs. The way we've had to do this is to ask our current community to donate equipment and to make sure that we get as much infrastructure in place as we can from the existing clubs that exist. And we really have had a good take up from the constituent members to support these programs, and in particular the programs I've spoken to you about. We'll continue to develop these clubs through some of the programs that Virginia spoke to you earlier about, in terms of the water-based clubs outside of our traditional rowing venues. Slide 47 does help you just understand some of the areas that we've developed. Certainly, on slide 47, we talk about the boats that were donated, particularly by the Norwegian Rowing Federation, and certain other constituencies around the country to try and make this happen. And I think the biggest success for us has been, although it's a school, it's an all-black school, which is Germiston High School, and we've now started to see medals from Germiston High School at the South African Rowing Championship, which was held last weekend. So we are starting to see the fruits of that work. And certainly just shows when you give these kids some equipment to compete in, they've come out and absolutely, you know, and won medals and are starting to perform. So, you know, I go back to what I said earlier before Sizwe joined us. We're looking for our next Sizwe in Glovu and how Sizwe, you know, how we find our next Sizwe and comes through the program. I've spoken about the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, KZN, and then Virginia alluded to our rowing club in Payazani, which is in Giani, in Limpopo, where we have the highest participation of athletes at our rowing camps, which has been incredible to see in terms of the participation that they come to. The last point I think I'd like to make really is just around the coaches commission. I think that coaching is the most important role in developing, or has the most important role to play in developing rowing further in clubs and schools, as well as the indoor program. And our coaches commission works very closely with the SASCOC coaches framework to accredit and teach coaches how to coach and work with young children across the country. And I think this is massively important, because those coaches are not just teaching them rowing skills, they're teaching them life skills as well, and actually become role models for many of these kids through their younger lives. We hold an annual conference where we bring coaches up together to understand what everybody's busy with. So we think we've done quite a bit on information sharing, and just making sure that our country, at least that coaches around the country, are all coaching in a similar way, so when we do bring them together, that it's easy to integrate across provinces. One of the other big developments within the coaches space is the endorsement and establishment of an organization called BRCA. It's our Black Rowing Athletes and Coaches Association, and I think the establishment of this has been invaluable. This association has been instrumental in knowledge sharing between coaches from different cultures and backgrounds, and has further promoted the close-knit community of our coaches within South Africa. BRCA, I have no doubt, will be very influential in the future in terms of helping rowing South Africa understand the landscape and the challenges we face by various constituencies. The last slide I'd like to just spend some time with you on is this slide, which sums up what we've spoken to you about today, and it really starts at the top with where do we find the beginning of our pipeline. It starts with Virginia's program, indoor rowing clubs. It starts with the established clubs and the adoption of transformation programs, and it starts with other gymnasiums taking up rowing as a sport within their various constituencies. We then move into a talent ID area, which is really to grow the clubs, to strengthen the junior divisions as well as the seniors, because we do find some athletes later in life, to create the provincial academies. We've been successful with those in Gauteng, Eastern Cape and Western Cape, and I think Durban or KZN will follow shortly. Sizwe spoke to you a little bit about the importance of high performance centres, which we have at Pretoria and UJ, and these have just shown how important it is to have the centralized approach. We're not big enough to have a decentralized approach in South Africa, so the only way to do this at a high performance level is to follow a centralized approach, which then goes into the high performance centers and out pops our Olympic athletes. Now, this might sound easy, and it might seem very simple on a slide, but I'm sure you've heard many sports talk to you about the challenges that they faced in terms of access to kids, you know, and the ability of kids to get to competition. I think Virginia will tell you that her biggest challenge is transport, and it's never keenness. It's never not finding enough kids. There are more than enough kids out there to compete. It's how do we facilitate transport? How do we facilitate feeding kids? And giving kids equipment to row in. And those are the challenges that we face as a federation on a daily basis. I know that we've spoken to you a lot about high performance and you know, Sizwe's journey, but that's not really where we focus every day. Our focus every day is making sure we get Virginia's program up and running, and that we get access to more kids to go out and find talent. I think the EPG report was clear on that, and that's certainly when we have our meetings what we focus on in terms of how we approach the next phase as we move into Tokyo. Madam Chair, I'm not sure if you want me to go through the budget slide. If you would like me to go back to, I'll go to the summary slide, which is relatively in the early stages of the presentation. As I said to you, this is a wish list, and I will use 2017 as a base. It is slide 24 in the pack. If you'd like to have a look, it is numbered. Virginia, and I'll focus on two elements. The first element is the Rural Learn to Row program, and that program costs us about 4.1 million rand a year if we ran it in the way that we wanted to run it. We get funding from the Department of Sport, from the Lotteries Commission, although the Lotteries Commission haven't granted us money in the last 2 years. We have applications in and are still waiting for those to be adjudicated. And that really does put a break on Virginia's ability to execute her program. So, you know, as soon as that money is made available to us, we're able to continue with the work in the rural areas. The other piece I want to focus on was the national squad. The national squad, you'll see there's a big bill, it's 13 million. A lot of that cost is picked up by private donor funding of ex-national squad athletes and certain corporates, but also a large percentage of that is picked up by Sascoc. And we're very grateful to Sascoc for A, the relationship that we have with them, but also their willingness to support rowing as a high-performance sport. We do understand that we carry great stature within Sascoc, given that we've produced medals on a consistent basis across the Olympics since 2008, since 2004, and for that are very grateful to Sascoc for the funding on that space. And then the last element that I'd like to pick up really is the regional junior club development. That is probably the next biggest thing that we need to spend time and energy on, but it's also where we need to get where we need to secure funding. That's the 7.6 million, and if I have to think about, you know, summarizing our lottery applications that we put in when we put them in, they're focused on two elements. They're focused on Virginia's rural program and the regional club development side of things. So it's line within that first section, it's the first line and the last line of the first section, which we really do need the support of. That sums up essentially what we think the priorities are. We obviously then seek money for things like technical support and infrastructure, but really the top element, the first element around talent ID and preparation, is where we focus our daily tasks and are very reliant on our current community for a lot of that funding. So without dragging that out too long, and I do apologize for jumping around a little bit in the presentation, I hope that gives you a good summary of A, what rowing have been busy with for the last 4 years, and that we hope you share our satisfaction with our achievements, although there can always be more, and certainly given you some insight into where we will be going in the next 4 years in terms of getting out there and finding our next Lawrence and Glauben, and taking things further. So Madam Chair, to you and the committee, thank you again for the time, and then you'll take us through the next question session.
Thank you. Let me start. Honorable Bergman, Honorable Berg, Honorable Lomo, Honorable Rossi, Honorable Manana, No, he wrote a note. She's not well, starting somewhere. It's coming. The nature compels that she must. So she wrote a note that she's coming back. and then Honorable De Wit in that order. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome.
They've started again to make the aircon up. I'm some bored with the bronchitis, so I'm starting now my voice going down. I'm not sick, but bronchitis is so sensitive with the aircon if it's up. I've seen somebody get in and make it up. It must slow it. I thank you, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. We welcome the presentation. You know, I'm from Soweto. I was not even aware that there's a team in Soweto that plays rowing. Maybe you must give us their contact. Where are they situated in Soweto? You don't have an oversight visit, so to say. But we welcome the presentation. And I'm impressed. I was not, you know, I thought it's an expensive sport. One of the questions maybe I wanted to find out, what is one of your equipment? How much does it cost? You know, you spoke of a room setup. How much does it cost? And I was just checking your financial standing, your financial report, your audited statement. There's a page which is under your auditor's financial statement. They're saying supplementary information not set on page 14 and 15 does not form part of this financial statement. Can you explain that why? I wanted to find out, are you ready with this financial aid? Because I see your financial year ends on the 31st of March. This was 2015-2016. Now, are you ready for the financial year? I wanted to, lastly, two questions before that. Sports award in 2015 on your page, I think it's page 18. Can you explain the demographics of that page? Because you speak of St. John's College. Where are they situated? Which province or region, so to say? And I wanted, maybe it's a funny question, but you know, when I started, I was asking myself, and Virginia, spoke of the sports unites all race. But you spoke of only of indoor facility or indoor game that you are talking about, which is you have plus minus 52 districts only in black schools. Now, it's a silly question that I'm asking, but I wanted to find out. Now, you're talking of only black schools, but you are the sports code unite all race. Maybe explain yourself on that. Or when I understand that slide, in other words, that phase is level one for us to go to another level. It's your transformation. Sorry, Chair. That's what is happening.
He's also getting the prompt card.
I wanted to find out, or is that indoor, is it your face level one for us to go to another level whereby, because I don't understand the sporting code exactly, maybe you have to explain it, simplify it for me as a layman, to understand why only 52 districts, especially black schools. You know, when you speak of only black schools, what, you know, integration or transformation doesn't take only one race. In my understanding of what the diversity part, it's not there in my take. Another on your finances, what is sports science? There's an item on your finances, sports science. What is that? What does it entail, so to say? And I was told that you guys are only driven by passion but not money. But when I check your money proposal, your wish list, I must understand it. You know, like your sports science, what does it entail, so to say? So those are my questions for now, but I'm impressed. I'm looking forward to maybe go and see for myself, especially in Soweto and in Gauteng, because I'm there.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. Also, like my colleague, just want to congratulate Rowing SA on a great presentation. I knew them coming here was just going to be a positive visit. It was pretty boring in that regard, because it's a good report. They've been achieving in any of the sports tournaments or competitions, international or national, that we watch. Rowing SA has always got a place there. So Definitely a huge congratulations from our side. And then, of course, to have Sizwe and Glovo sitting here, you know, it's one thing to be a gold medalist. It's another thing to give back to the sports and not just take from the sports. And I always watch my chairperson when we go on oversight, and she sees someone that's achieved. And especially if they're young, then the mama in my chairperson comes out, and you can see the pride. So I was watching the pride of the chairperson, and it's good. Sizwe, you'd be proud, and we're proud of you. And we look forward to great things to come in the future. In terms of the moving from indoor rowing to outdoor rowing, I'm interested to know what kind of support you get, because if you're looking at transformation, there's obviously, in terms of water safe, a lot of people don't have access to swimming pools, or a lot of people, you know, don't have money for swimming lessons, so to speak. And I'd say that to your first barrier of entry into rowing is going to be learning how to swim, which is not necessarily a competency of Rowing SA. But what support do you get, and maybe from Swimming South Africa or anywhere else, maybe where can this portfolio possibly help or assist in trying to get, you know, that water safety concern up and about for people wanting to enter into Rowing South Africa. And then in terms of the water shortages that we face and access to water, I would assume that the outdoor rowing is a challenge in a few provinces. Are there provinces here that are actually just, it's almost an impossibility because of, it's almost not economically wise to chase that province in terms of trying to get Rowing South Africa established or entrenched in that district? And if so, what can, again, you know, what are the ideas, or what could fix that type of issue where no one's excluded from being able to participate or join Rowing South Africa? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Bergman. Honourable Bev.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I'd also like to add and say I appreciate the presentations from the three presenters. It was well done. I think when we arrived, our secretary said that you can see they're organized. So yes, you are organized. We normally struggle sometimes with the IT, but you could see the president was all glued. He could help us if we had to struggle. So well done. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed, it's an honor for us, Mr. Ndlovu, that Groot Boom, Mr. Ndlovu, Groot Boom, Elephant, Groot Elephant, yeah. That you are in our midst. Yeah, we don't always have that opportunity to see you guys on TV, and we get excited and so on. So it's really an honor for us to have you here. I'm going to start from the back in case I forget. Transformation, your Black Rowing Athletes and Coaches Association. I don't have a problem with that, but in 2017 we don't still talk about the Black Rowing and the Black this and the Black that. We need to have it inclusive, and because I always feel that if you learn from the best. And yes, if the pink and the blues are the best, then we should have them inclusive so that we can learn from them and not just have a black group alone, because it just takes us back to apartheid. So that's my comment on that. then also very, very impressed when it comes to disabled, and we hear that disabled is doing well. Honorable Musi will also most probably speak on that. We're very excited. My question is it just Paras that you're working with? Because you mentioned the blind people. How well do you involve all the disabled people? You find sometimes that disabled people have their own challenges, normal transport and the other issues. How do you handle that? And then you just mentioned when you spoke about the lady that's doing well, Sandra. I just quickly Googled and saw that we offer proud Sandra Kumalo. So that's very good. Yes, we need to know if it's Sandra Kumalo or Sandra Abrams. Then how can we involve them just in general to participate, maybe indoor? Because indoor too, when I looked at the indoor presentation, I saw that it reminds me when I go to the gym. I can actually start going outside in the water and do some rowing, because that's what you do in the gym. So maybe just also, even on the fun side, get them involved. I'm sure they will enjoy it. Also, well done to allowing the schools into your expo. That's very important. My question around the schools is, how did you get it right to get the schools involved, is the educators involved, because sometimes in other codes we find that the educators are not that involved, so you don't find the success of sports in the schools. That you're talking like you're doing very well in the schools. I also want to add to the rural areas, they have one that Virginia is doing. It sounds very exciting, but I'm from the dry land of Gauteng. There is a few, you say Germiston and so on, around, but that's in the water rowing. The indoor rowing, how do you get that passion when they go out to actually do well? Do they swim? Do they know how to swim? Or is it just an indoor facility that later on you will learn how to swim? And because I know most of us in Gauteng, we don't know how to swim. So how do you get everybody to participate in swimming before rowing, and not just indoor? Because if you're indoor, then you think when you get to a river, when you go home, that you'll just be jumping and doing the rowing part. Yes, how successful is the indoor rowing versus the normal rowing? And is this just a quota that you are adding all the townships and rural areas that, you know, 80% black kids are rowing, while they would actually never reach the seas when part of it and go out in the water? I mean, you mentioned that it took him like more than 19 years to achieve that medal. So it's quite a long time for you to get to where you want to be. Yeah, and also, why the other provinces? When will you get to the other provinces? In this committee, we 1, 2, 3, 4 from Gauteng. We'd like to visit when you get to Gauteng. And yes, what is your ratio versus black-white indoor rowing? Because it sounds like it's a focus on the black youth. And myself, I'd like to just align myself and say that being disadvantaged is not a black thing. It is majority, but there's some white kids also that needs to be inclusive in this. After-school training, how successful is that? And what, you must give us your recipes, because we have problems. Our minister said Wednesdays is a sports day. When he flies over South Africa, he'd like to see everybody participating. But it's not possible because the educators feel that it's an extramural activity. And so how do you must give us your recipe. How do you get that after hours involvement besides the passion? Yes, and I also align myself with when we'd like to do some oversight, because we're an oversight committee. We don't have any money. We hear you talking a lot about money. We do our work is oversight to make sure that the budget is being spent well. We'd like to visit sometime, seeing what is happening. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Webb, Honourable Lomo.
Thank you very much, Chair. I really welcome the presentation this morning. Quite impressed with the fact of seeing our young, you know, people involved in sports and especially in the administration. And quite impressed with the young lady. This is this is just what we want in this country. Most of my colleagues have covered me in some of the areas. I come from KwaZulu-Natal, and when you said you had visited all provinces, I quickly went back to the slide, and I could see only Thekwini and Pietermaritzburg, which is. But our KZN is very wide and broad, and mostly rural areas. How do you really make sure that you get hold of someone from Kanyawood and and all those deep rural areas into these areas, transport-wise and everything. I know that around Devon there's a lot of water rolling, no problem, indoors maybe, but when it comes to the rural, deep rural areas, and in this drought, I would like to find out just how you go about that. As I was very impressed seeing, you know, season in person. That's on the awesome TV, and congratulate you for your success. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Rossi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Quickly, Chair, my question is almost similar to the one that was asked by Honorable Bev. It's based on the presentation done by Virginia. That you Virginia succinctly touched on water rowing and machine rowing, and then I've tried to sort of juxtapose the two and could not come up with the good relationship. I just want to check with you how related they are, whether that the machine rowing, how far does it prepare an athlete for water rowing? You have also indicated that as far as rowing is concerned, you selectively choose sort of dams or type of water according to your suitability. And then I just want to check as to which ones inland do you use, like you have mentioned, RTPS port, other than RTPS, which ones do you use inland? And then the person she also indicated, or it is the president that indicated that you did not get anything from Lotto Ines for the past 2 years. I just want to check, is there a reason perhaps? Because I want to believe that Lotto cannot just deny you, that there should be something that you have missed or you have done. And then Chairperson, lastly, I just want to bring this Chairperson to your attention of the Rustenburg area. And then I want you, Chairperson, to check as to, how many presentations that we are going to have that always speak about Rustenburg. I'm from the Northwest of Virginia. And Rustenburg, it's as if, is the only place in the Northwest. And as far as I know, it is around 150 k's from Johannesburg, where your office is located. And I want to believe that when you speak of rural areas, you have to move something like 600 to 700 k's from Johannesburg to get to to rural areas where people are real people that don't see developments. And Chairperson, I just want to indicate that, and you'll see every presentation that we are going to have is going to speak about Rustenburg, and it's Rustenburg just around Rustenburg as a town. There are also rural areas around Rustenburg, and presentations don't tend to reach those places. It's like Virginia, you're from Limpopo. It's like when someone is in a rural of Lephalale, and then every time when you speak of Pietersburg, just around the town, you understand that. And I'm saying, Chairperson, that some of the presentations or federations must really begin to consider moving from comfort zones and move to real rural areas. And I just wanted to bring it to your attention, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Moses. Honorable Manoni.
Thank you, Chairperson. First thing, Chairperson, I must welcome the presentation. When we get this presentation, it looks very good, but when we go physically on the ground, nothing is happening there. Let me start with the Rowing South Africa Executive Chairperson. I want to ask the executive maybe to put a name, because I'm gender sensitive. If you write President, Development, Vice President, you put only the titles here. I won't even know who is the male, who is the female. Maybe you are all males in this executive. It's just Virginia who are here. The rest is male. So that is why I have to start with that for in future you must just write the name if it's Mrs. Smith or Mrs. whosoever. And another thing, first I must first congratulate the Rowing South Africa finalist in their five categories for 2016 South African Sports Award Chairperson, including Virginia Mabaso. And I must also congratulate the Sizwe Ndlovu as the first black South African to win gold medal in rowing. First black person in the world. But another thing, I've got a question mark on that. First black person in the world. That means rowing South Africa is the always only no transformation. It's only the ones who are winning this this gold medal. No transformation, I must say, I must not hide that. And on this issue has been touched by my colleague here, Honorable Mosi, the lottery funds. I just want to get to find out from Rowing South Africa that did they get any correspondence from National Lottery after you have applied or not? And Chairperson, their presentation, when I read their presentation, it's only focused on at the national level. At the provincial level, I cannot say they do touch it, the nine provinces, but I'm from Mpumalanga province. If I can tell you, Chairperson, that the provincial department of culture, sports and recreation, they don't know anything about rowing, rowing, I must say. But I can see their document is touching Kangala. Kangala it's suburb. The Whitburn Dam is in suburb, of which means the people who are participating in rowing, it's only those people. And the when you I've heard Honorable Sizwe there. I'll call you Honorable because you are all honorable here. I've heard you say talking about rowing. It's a sport that is easily accessible to all communities. Which communities are you talking about? Is it the suburbs, the township, the rural areas? If it's the rural areas, which are those rural areas in these nine provinces? Because I've seen you have touched the nine provinces, and you only touched the city, the town. It's not even the small towns which you have touched. And Mrs. Honorable Mabaso, in your presentation, you're talking about you are involving teachers in school from each school. Those schools you are involving, I mean, there are schools where rowing is not recognized, but you talking about you are involving teachers in school, but there are schools that are not recognized rowing as a sport. So how are you going to identify the coaching officers which you are going to employ? Which are going to be employed by Rowing South Africa to ensure goals are achieved.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I also join my colleagues in congratulating Rosa. Well, for me, really, it's more about access. Increasing access to blacks, Africans. I see that out of 52 districts, you have only reached 70. So there is still more challenges, but it's also linked with the question that was asked by Honorable Bergman around
not just complying. Because if provinces are cited, it's a lost cause, except if the indoor game is internationally recognized sporting code. But if so, if you can just indicate which are the provinces that we must really say we can't concentrate on vis-a-vis access, because the problem with South Africa is that certain communities have not had the access to certain sporting codes. It's also linked to the expensive nature of the sport. What impediment does it create? A serious impediment, the fact that rowing is expensive. I saw your structure, and in terms of your Rosa Council structure, I'm interested in clubs. And my gut feeling is that that is where the problem is, from where I'm sitting, because when I grew up, I'm from Gauteng, I grew, there is a Florida Lake. Florida Lake, I used to know that there is a club there linked to a yacht, because they've got boats and so on. It is as if that Florida Lake then is exclusive to the people that or is leased to the club. But I think that is the case in South Africa, and that is where our problem is in terms of access. How are we ensuring that they meet the required targets in terms of opening up their clubs to Africans, so that the Africans can have access to being members of those clubs? And I saw that besides the universities and schools, I may be, because schools, as government, we can influence that something must happen, and that is why Virginia comes in handy, because we can make something about that. But the problem is clubs, and my focus really is around the clubs, whether we are making inroads in terms of transformation. You see, if you appreciate BRACA, it's a black rowing African organization, there is going to be tensions. I can tell you, because I know an organization, it's an organism, it's alive, it will end up demanding more, and it will end up saying, we don't recognize Rosa. I'm just raising it, because very soon I know the chair will also receive a letter from BRACA. At the moment, I because you said no, you're working together with them. And you know that Rosa, at the moment, we recognize it as government, because you are supposed to be in charge of growing in South Africa. So I'm just giving a warning that you should not appreciate that and say, no, you are working. You should, in fact, be worried and try to ensure that you look at yourself and ensure that you open up if you are not open enough. I'm not sure, because in terms of your structure, we can't tell, because it's there, and then it's commissions, and then it's also clubs. And my gut feeling is that clubs, so many things hinges on the clubs. what is your view on the criteria for international qualification? Because I know, I mean, it has not happened with rowing, but we have had problems with, I think, Pauline. Is it Pauline? The last time they did not participate in the Rio Olympics.
I understand the question.
Yeah, so we because you see we are a sport committee, we want to understand if we need to begin getting involved in that area. We know that SASCOC is responsible, but we want to be neutral people so that we understand the challenge. Lastly, I mean my colleague Honorable Musi. Because normally, I mean, because we want access, we are jealous, we want to assist where possible. So I think, because normally we also meet with Lotto, we meet with them. So once you say you have not been funded for the past 2 years, the next time we meet with them, we are going to ask them why they did not fund Rosa. So it's better if, honestly, we know. And then my last point really is that we might have to do something special, because in other countries, gold medalists, I mean, once they get the gold medal, they are set up for life in most countries. You get the gold medal, you are set up for life. I'm being personal and jealous because we've got the privilege of sitting with you in the same room. So we want you to tell us honestly, what do you think we are still behind South Africa? Are we treating our medals the way we should? Or do we still, because I know, I mean, there is sponsorship in other countries, but the impression that I get is that the medalists throughout, they are set up for life. Is it the same with us, or is it an area that we need to work on? Because, I mean, it's the first time that we've got an opportunity to sit with a gold medalist. It's a rare occasion. Honorable Bergman recognized that it's a rare occurrence. You even our colleagues in Parliament, they have not had that opportunity. But we are sitting next to you. We see something that it's an honor. It is something that is sought after by millions of youth throughout the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members. President, this is the day that we're so pleased that you are all here, especially in your good self. You are not in our ages, some of us. This is a sport of young ones, which is lacking most of the time in our country. This sport, when you are saying sport, it's one other area where we're thinking that it's just that department. This cohesion we don't see, but today, as we're sitting here, we're looking at the president that is still there. It's not yet going to be ancestors. You know what? These youth leaguers, when they are calling us in our age, they call us that we are ancestors while we're still alive. You know what? I'm proud of this meeting of today. What I'm happy about today in this meeting, to see somebody who's very young, Virginia Mabaso, served for 10 years, being a young girl. This question of gender, which is now we're seeing it in front of us, that we've been, when other people coming here, not seeing this thing of 50-50, but of a gender, and but they will be talking about. That's why, as a ministry of us, having to put this EPG, and this EPG report, we're still wanting to see it happening. I don't know what to say about CISRE. CISRE, we are like one of our own, Luvo Manyongo, whom I don't know that why this committee is not calling him to sit in this committee or SASCOC, because that boy, this committee, I'm proud of this committee, allowed that we must go and find where he is and nurtured him and ask SASCOC and the department that they must take care of Luvo Manyongo. Thanks to you that your mother was a domestic mother, that those people whom he was working gave you this opportunity. It's a pity you didn't mention them, because you wanted to be proud of those people whom your mother will woke up early in the morning preparing for their kids, for themselves, but they do have heart. That's what we wanted for a long time in this South Africa. The only thing that I can comment on, I want to remind all of us where we're coming from. Now, 22 years down the line, we are starting from a scratch, from somewhere, let alone that we want transformation. Transformation is not about blacks, it's about the inclusivity of the community and the people of South Africa. But you must not just forget that where do we come from. And it's not a crime that you must start with blacks, that they must come where our girls and boys whom we don't have any problem, who are white, that they've been in this field alone themselves. But can I caution you, 22 years down the line, we're not supposed, not now, to be very inclusive, to look at black and white. But you start from somewhere. My criticism is that we must all not forget where we're coming from. Black, and when you're saying black, you know, honorable members, what the EPG is saying about a black. If blacks is not only the Africans, but we even said especially the Africans. So we do appreciate that today well, having you young as you are, and you suppose as I'm sitting here that you did go back to your mother's employees saying thank you to give me this opportunity, even if they were black, but if they were white, that's why we must know that it was not only all whites who were involved in the apartheid, not loving some South Africans. We must not have a blanket approach when we are talking about white South Africans. So today, this is a history that it tells us. I'm very pleased, but when you are saying this, that you have Virginia, you have Usizwe, you have this president, I'm not yet even told this committee. We have so many incidents, but I'm seeing that you do some work in Amthatha Dam. As I'm sitting here, last Saturday, about 3 school kids were drowned, and 3 coffins I've seen in the space that I was not there. And I've seen that the mayor is saying that we'll assist, that there must be some lessons that they must taught how to swim. I'm appealing that in front of this committee, I'm not saying because I'm from Amthatha or from Eastern Cape, but it was a very pathetic thing. This research, I will ask to come closer to you, because there is a dam called Amthatha Dam, and there is a tragedy that it happened. And those who are saying that, what are you doing in rural areas? Even that dam is in the capital town of Transkei. And some other schools that you put here, they are not only in that vicinity of Amthatha. I've seen that there are rural schools. I'm hoping that you must indicate in your presentation that these they are not only from the city, they are also from rural areas, because as from myself coming from Amthatha, I'm seeing other schools that they are not from only in cities, they are from rural areas. But what I'm pleading you, go to those rural areas, take those kids, but you cannot do it you alone. I wanted to add by asking, what is your relationship with the schools? Because as this committee is well sitting here, school sport in schools, they don't even budget for them. It's only 2 provinces, it's Western Cape and Free State, who have a budget of the school sport programs. As we're sitting here, our department is having not to have their budget up to scratch, up to date, because the provinces, they are not accounting, they don't do anything about the school sport. When I'm saying you must identify and assist, I would love to check how is your relationship with the basic education in connection with the school sport. As we're sitting here, we're having no content advisor as this committee, because he has been taken by Department of Sport and Recreation National to go and try to look at this school sport. So want some of you Sizwe Ndlovu of Luvo Manyongo, but I was so proud that today we are having you, young as you are, because you didn't want to blame the apartheid. You wanted to be a South African, and you have chosen to go to this spot, and this is history today. It's a pity that the media is coming only when we are calling Irapi in this parliament and as this spot. If they were always coming in each and every entity, today we're going to be having this thing knowing by all South Africans that we have somebody like your good self, but let alone about Virginia. We have assets, we have young ones whom, when we are passing on, will be leaving you to lead this South Africa. But as honorable members all have said, that transformation is about black and white. The codes that we're talking, we're not only want that it must be, don't make me laugh. You know what is showing me? There's somebody who nominated himself as a deputy chairperson in this committee. This is the only committee that do have a deputy chairperson. So it's just arriving because he's sitting from another committee. Maybe before I'm giving you, I didn't see him that he arrived. He's a part of the committee. So I wanted to raise some few questions before I landed. Was so happy, but when we are responding, please try to fill the gaps, but the gaps must fill according on what I'm saying, that where we're coming from. We're supposed to start from somewhere. Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm just raising on a point of appreciation. It's a comment. I'm saying I nearly missed something, I missed out on something that is very important. An opportunity to see this young, well-shaped man and this beautiful hair and this young president. I'm happy and I'm lucky now to have attended this committee because I wanted to attend PC Education, but I decided to know that I should come to this one. This is the chance that I would have missed. So I'm just appreciating that I've come and see these three people today. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
To you, President, and whoever want to comment on response on the questions from members.
Thanks for all the questions. I'll try and cover some of the more macro questions and then go into some of the specifics. Can I start with the lottery comment, because I think there were a few. In fact, in Virginia manages the relationship with, or understands the relationship with lottery. As a federation, we've always got we've always been granted lotteries when lottery grants when we've applied. What has happened in the last 2 years is we were given an amount for Rio preparation 90 days before Rio, before the athletes left for Rio. So we told the lottery we actually can't use that money for what it's meant to be used for, because it was allocated to prepare for Rio. But you can't spend 5 million rand in 90 days. Well, you can, but we weren't going to spend 5 million rand in 90 days for Rio preparation. And at the same time, we had another application in. And we mistakenly, I don't know, asked them to allocate from the Rio one to our other to our application. My understanding is that the Lotto Board, and Virginia, you can help me, the Lotto Board actually hasn't met on matters of adjudication for over a year. So, you know, they obviously have a pile of applications to go through, and they've dealt with other business other than making adjudications and allocations. So that took us through another cycle, and when they opened up the cycle in 2017, we were not allowed to apply because we have an unadjudicated application in the pile. So we've fallen over 2 years. So that's where we are. That's where we are with the lottery. We have complied with all our reporting requirements. We've been audited twice on our applications and our reporting, and they've all been clean audits. So you know, we don't have an issue there. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that in terms of Lotto. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think what Sean is saying is that, I mean, we've
got your mic, Virginia, and just switch off of yours.
I mean, we follow through procedure. We're one of those federations that we even won a grant agreement, I mean, grant compliance award with Lotto. So all our reports are up to date. We follow up with them all the time. I mean, in this incident, we received Olympic as opposed to day-to-day running budgets, and once we swap them, it's been that process. I mean, they made the decision that they would regard it as an application for reallocation, whereas we had not physically applied for application for reallocation. We just had two applications at the same time, and one which the Olympic budget was approved 90 days before that. And so it's been that waiting process. I mean, we speak to the lady all the time that is managing the housing pile. All the time when we call, it's the same feedback that they have not met for adjudication. It's only the process for processing. So it affects my program the most, because this is where we get the money to run and expose the kids to competition, as which will answer to all the questions as we go down.
Then the other macro question around cost and integration. So it is an expensive sport. I'd be lying if I sat here and said rowing wasn't an expensive sport. The boat that Seaswear rowed in at the Olympic Games, for instance, for four men, is a boat built in Italy, and that boat to get into South Africa costs around 600,000 rand. For one boat for the Olympic team. So it is expensive. So when you're trying to get boats into rural communities and schools and clubs that don't necessarily have lots of money, it is an expensive sport to start. The converse of that is that the indoor rowing machine is relatively inexpensive. Those rowing machines in the gym cost about 12,000, 15,000 rand each. Now that's still quite expensive for a piece of equipment, but you can cycle, Virginia, 30 kids through one machine in an afternoon. You know, so you, lots of kids can use one of those rowing machines. Which does, someone asked the question around how does indoor rowing relate to water rowing? The motion is exactly the same. The kinds of muscles you use, the sequence, the feel, and the way that you row on that indoor is exactly the same as you would be on water. You obviously don't have balance issues and the other sort of, you know, the outdoor healthy aspects of water rowing, but the motion and the muscles are exactly the same. Beg your pardon? Yeah.
Just the hands open up on the boat.
Yeah.
On the angle, you go forward.
So
now they are answering you whilst they are still explaining.
Okay.
You must do a follow up question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's funny. There was a question on, I'll get into some of the specifics. There was a question on sports science. Lawrence, you can add to what sports science means, but sports science is the investment in medical staff and the testing, so blood testing for lactate physiology testing for someone's athletic ability that exists. That's pretty much what sports science stood for. And then you asked a question around the sports awards and St. John's, unfortunately, or fortunately, is a private school in Johannesburg. But the two members of that team that won the award last year did win a medal at the World Championship, and the adjudication panel of sports awards awarded them the prize. I mean, we put in an application or a recommendation, and the committee thought fit to award them that prize. But we do have quite a few private schools at Roe and the St. Paul's. What we find though is that boats are recycled from those clubs that they either donate to Roe in South Africa for us to use in our other programs, which is, if I go back to the passion column in the middle, we have identified that we need to harness that passion that some of our wealthier members have to be able to donate and help those who don't have. And we've got some good stories to tell where some of those more affluent members have partnered with the likes of Soweto or Germiston High School to make sure that those kids are fed and have boats to row in at competition. Maybe another macro question is the translation. You've all correctly identified that indoor rowing is our entry point, and our entry point in rural areas which have been predominantly for black kids. That you're all correct. That is what it is. What Virginia's challenge is, and she touched on it, is how do we convert those clubs, those indoor rural clubs, to water clubs, and integrate them into the water rowing aspect of our sport. That becomes quite important. There isn't though, or maybe take a step back. All water rowers already compete in indoor rowing. So we haven't focused on that because it's a given. They use it as a training tool, and what you would have seen in Virginia's calendar and the integration point is we have schools competitions in provinces. In fact, we have schools competitions in districts. Then we have schools competitions in provinces, and then we have schools competitions nationally across all provinces, including our water-based rows. And maybe that wasn't clear in the presentation. So you'll see Virginia mentioned the St. Andrews Ergo Regatta. St. Andrews is a school that hosts the national indoor regatta, and all our participants from our indoor program and our water program participate at that event. So there is integration, but you've all correctly identified that there is, that could almost be accelerated, or that there is, I won't say separation, but certain athletes do only start in the indoor side and then eventually evolve into water rowing. Coming back to then, well, there isn't water in all the provinces. When we started the program, we said we want to convert all. And it was a bit ambitious. I think we've realized you cannot convert all indoor rowers to water rowers for obvious reasons. There isn't water in all parts of our country. So we have to find a way to offer our sport to kids in areas where there isn't water. And we've done that through indoor rowing. Will we convert all the kids from indoor to water? Definitely not. It's not possible. Because there isn't any water in particular areas. And that's the reality of, I guess, the geography that we live in. We're not a water-rich country, so we'll take what we can get. And what I will do, and I've made a note, is circulate to this committee all our pieces of water that we do row on, because I think this committee is interested in the water that we have available to us to row on. And I'll certainly circulate that in a note to you post this meeting. Maybe just the last question on the financial statements. It's not uncommon to have supplementary information in your financial statements that is unaudited. and we have had this vetted by Department of Sport. So the Department of Sport asked for this this disclosure, which we added to our financial statements in about 2011 or 2009 for additional disclosure that they wanted to see. So the DG's office has approved this disclosure, and we have submitted it like this for many years, and it was a requirement that comes in the contract that we signed with the department that says, please tell us how you spent the money that you that we've allocated to you. So it, first of all, indicate how much we gave you, which we do, and how was it spent, so that they can tie it back to the contract that we get from the department to understand how their money was spent. You know, I actually come out of the auditing profession, so this is not uncommon, but we're open to working with the department on any disclosure that they want, because we think it's important that we, you know, that the governance element is at the highest level. Does that answer the question? Sorry, maybe if I just move through some of the other questions, and if I don't cover them, we will. Maybe BRCA, if I can just cover BRCA, because I think it's important, and maybe it's jarred a little bit with some of the committee members. It absolutely jarred with me when I got the application. When they wanted to, a group of coaches and athletes wanted to set up an association. And again, I come out of the accounting profession. We have a Black Accountants Association. The lawyers have a Black Lawyers Association. The medical fraternity have many specialist areas where they have Black associations. And I took that view that as long as we work together, and I take the point that you could get a letter from them separately, that we should allow them to constitute. They sit in the structure within the Coaches Commission, so they are fully active members of the Coaches Commission, and I attend their meetings, or the chairperson of our Coaches Commission attends their meetings, to understand the kind of agenda and the kind of discussions they have. Now, part of what their most valuable input so far has been, where do we allocate our resources to? They know best. Is where do we allocate our resources to? So they tell us which clubs we should be giving money to, which clubs we should be giving boats to, where should we be allocating resources to, who should we be helping, and why. And in doing that, we've we've had their buy-in in terms of the way that we spend the resources and the boats and the money that we get to develop Lawrence and Glorvus of the world. I was concerned when they made their application, but if it's done in a very open, transparent way, and we attend their meetings, they write to me often, and I meet with the chairperson often to understand what's on their minds, and that we don't fall short of, I guess, just the transparency of how decisions are made. Because they want to know, how did you decide on spending money in the Western Cape or wherever it was? And when we can tell them that, it's been a very collaborative process. So this last allocation of both has been their recommendation to us in terms of where we should allocate the boats that we have. So that was the BRCA one that I just wanted to cover. Virginia, do you want to talk about schools and how you approach schools and how you get buy-in from schools to run programs? Because that was also a theme through the whole thing.
No, it's reminding you, telling me that now chairperson I'll be giving over. So this young one is always looking at the procedure of the meeting. So now he's saying it loudly, saying that when there is a chairperson, if the leader of delegation wanting to tell the chairperson that now I'm giving over to, not to chair, saying that, that this one is always like that. What can I do about the young blood that is always looking at principles of the children. Never mind of that.
My
it's part of your age group.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've noted a few questions, and Sean has already responded to most of them. With going back to sports awards, when we submit recommendation or either motivations for nominations, we have submitted Paizani High School, which is the first indoor rowing school that we have started. So they were nominated as Development School of the Year in 2015. So though they didn't win the award, and I'm mentioning this so that you can understand that it's, we don't only focus on private schools or ourselves who are administrators, we also recognize the kids that are really participating, even the teams in all areas based on the performances they have shown throughout our progressive rowing calendar. And then on demographic reach, Mr. Mshongo has asked, is it water only or indoor rowing only? We do both, and it's not only separated by color and saying indoor rowing is for blacks and water rowing is for whites. In my presentation, I mentioned that we do run development camps. And in those development camps, this is when we introduce our indoor rowers to water rowing. You may find that there's a kid that is doing indoor rowing, and the minute they sit on the boat, they fall in love with it and they go with it. But the challenge that we have, as I've mentioned, is that we don't have equipment to live in those areas. So they only get access to a boat when they are at camp. So the conversion process, if it works properly in all the areas that we've identified, rowable water, this is when these teams that are currently existing now, before we reach the balance of the 32 districts that are remaining, that's when we know that we need, basically we need 9 trailers, starter packs. We've had a meeting with the DG, and we have presented to him that if I get 9 starter packs, it's easy to convince. It's easy to say all the kids that are in current existing clubs don't have water opportunities now, but we know very well that it will happen on a snail pace, but it will happen soon. To cover on incidents in terms of swimming lessons, and to avoid that, we ensure that we check if the kids can swim first when we attempt, whenever we put them on water. Those that can't swim, we give them life jackets, and we have a coaching boat that follows that boat. Should anything happen or that boat tip, I mean, even kids that can really row, at junior champs now, an 8 Capsize, I was in Mpumalanga in Woodbank running a competition, just following on social media. I saw an 8 of kids that have been rowing, but those were novices that were rowing. An eight is a bigger boat that it's really hard to tip. But even in an experienced rowers, they do tip because of the conditions they were during the day. But when we run camps to avoid such incidences, we give them life jackets. There is a coaching boat that follows this kid. Should anything happen, there is rescue on the water. So we avoid that, and I think in many years we haven't had a fatal accident that we could report. So we have covered those bases quite well to avoid having to deal with the consequences coming back later on. And another question is, how did we do it? How did we get it right? And how did we involve teachers? When I start the programs, I go to areas where I don't even know anybody in those areas. So I go there, go to the school's website. We want to focus into Witbank and Kangala, and we check how many high schools are in that area. We give each and every high school a call. So this is how these schools are selected. It's not that we know anybody in the school, then therefore they will refer us to somebody. I go there alone, not knowing anybody. So call the school and the school governing body. I send the presentation, a proposal. This is with the principal. And the principal will then call the sports teacher within the school to say there is a proposal that has come. Look at it, and then we set up a meeting, and then I'll travel to that area. We meet with the school. I give them time frame. They discuss with the school governing body to say yes to the program or nay to the program. And then they come back to me. This is when we implement the program. We go back and deliver the machines. We train the coaches. Teachers' involvement, you know that we only pay a stipend to coaches. You can't milk the same cow twice. Teachers are hired by the government, so you can't take the little amount of money that we get to motivate the teachers to be part of the program. So the teachers that are involved passionately, voluntarily so. You know, these teachers, they travel with the kids. These teachers stay with the kids every afternoon when training happens. And to make it work, when it comes to afternoon classes, we use most of the schools that would have a PE, physical education period. In most of the schools, we have actually assessed what happens in those in that time. Some of the schools don't have activities. Some of the schools, rowing is the only sport that is actually happening in the school when you travel. So we ask the teachers, I mean, it's different cases for different schools. So we ask the teachers to say, can we then utilize the PE periods for indoor rowing? It's still part of physical education. So that will be recorded as an activity that they did for PE. So some of the schools agree, some of the schools they do have activities, so it works differently. So for those schools that have activities during PE period, they would then stay in the afternoon. So in the afternoon, the teachers will alternate. We've got two coaches per school. If one has a commitment that they can't, they report to each other, they communicate, but training still happens. You know, so the teachers are my first point of contact when I need any reports about the program in that school. And in KZN, we have, there is a slide that I have shown of demographic reach, and I've simply highlighted, you will see that I've boxed the indoor, where there's only indoor rowing clubs, and the balance where it's water rowing based. So in KZN, we are in Guamashu, it still falls under Etegwene, and knowing very well that KZN is huge, and KZN has a little bit of water facilities in most of the villages. You know, I think Adrian once did a study. We've got a lot of water there. But as we grow the program, you know, with the little budget that we have, we will eventually get to some of those districts within the province. But in Guamashu, we're working with someone, Sox, who's very informed about who's who in the KZN province and all the districts. And when we eventually are able to stretch our program to those districts, it's going to be easier because he is well informed of which areas. And to come back to the issue of rural areas as opposed to urban areas and as opposed to cities, giving an example with Witbank. Witbank is a town, but you can't then exclude the kids that are schooling in township schools, because they're not really, really, really rural, as opposed to what the EPG describes to say it must be rural disadvantaged. They are disadvantaged being within the city. So these are schools, not white schools, not even private schools. These are kids, I mean, Elukanyisweni, if you know Elukanyisweni, if you know Lena Chinchunche, this is where we are. And this is nowhere near privilege, if I could put it like that. So this is areas where you know that it's pure township like Tembisa. People that are from Gauteng, they would know that. So it's not necessarily focusing into where it's easy. I've been to areas where I had to carry a bottle of water from the hotel, I mean, because there's no water where I'm going. I've been to an area where I had to make sure that if I don't use the loo before I leave the hotel, I'll actually use it when I come back, unless I have to, like, you know what. You have to get to an area and you adjust to what is happening there. So we don't only go to our comfort zones. I mean, if you're looking at the names that we have reached out here in the Eastern Cape, we are in Jongindaba High, we are in Mkhayizweni, those who are familiar with the areas, and we are at Dalindyebo. And Umthatha High happens to be the previous model C school, which is in town. And the reason we actually went for that, sometimes you have to understand that when we're growing something, you cannot put aside what could help you to grow. So Umthatha High becomes a hub in that area, that we know that there is a swimming pool. To address the swimming issue, Dalindyebo and Jongindaba, they come, we're negotiating with the Umthatha High principal to say, can our kids in these two other areas come and learn to swim here? It's a 50-meter pool, which if we have a boat that can be placed there, they can take two strokes back and forward while they're learning how to balance the boat and the stroke. So it's a safe environment. So we also have to take into consideration that what it seemed to be well developed as previous Model C schools, we just have to just put them aside. Sometimes they can help us to grow what we and achieve what we're trying to achieve. And you know, I would be biased and say when I selected Mkhayezweni and Jongindaba and Dalindya, it was mainly because I was reading our former president's book, Long Walk to Freedom. And that's what attracted, so those are the two schools which I selected based on what I had been informed about by the book that I was reading at the time. So that is why I went for Jongindaba and Dalindya. So that's, but the other schools, there is no attachment of anything. Even those two, there's no attachment. It's just that, you know, it's the history of South Africa, and it was so nice for me, trust me. It's in the deep, 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 deep rural area. Gravels and everything. You hire a car, they're going to charge you for all these little other things and damages and whatnot because you've been in the deep rural area. But setting foot there, for me, it meant a lot. Opposite that school, there is a Mandela, what was this monument that was done there? Jongindaba's monument. Yes, there is a family, so we had to walk in there and learn about the culture and the background and everything. So we have actually reached out to areas which, honestly, a person that could say, I know, I can't stretch myself so much, wouldn't survive this. And I mean, 10 years, if you ask me today if I want to do it again, yes, I will do it again. And Rustenburg, we have Rustenburg in our plan. And we've had it even in our previous presentation. So now, coming back to a budget point of view, my wings are clipped. If it were for me, I would frustrate rural South Africa even more. Because right now, you understand? So it's a challenge of having to we want to spread our wings, we want to grow, we want to take it everywhere. But we have to also understand that we have to start something that we can sustain. We have to start something that we know that we're going to have people that will be based there and that will be paid to run the program. And we cannot expect people to run something and then we just give them a pat on the back and say thank you. But we want to give them something. We want them to feel that they are involved in something that is sustainable. So we will eventually get to Rustenburg. And I mean, to Northwest, I was invited. This was an initiative of Mafikeng area. So when Mr. Chauke was still MEC of sports, I went to Mafikeng. I was invited. We want to start indoor rowing in there in Mabana Center. Beautiful center that has every sporting course, drama, everything. So, but now with the school sports, we met with the directors of school sports and sport and recreational. So we sat down, we agreed this is what's going to happen. But obviously after that, there was a change of management, Mr. Chauke left office, and there was that, so that's late. So we will eventually reach most of the parts, which the lot of budget that we are waiting for covers a whole lot of these projects that we had to put on hold and to even grow further. And coming to how expensive is our sport? I think I will just do two and then close it there. It becomes expensive for development because we pay for everything. Transport, accommodation, meals, rowing kit. And I would mention rowing kit because you will see on the competition slide that we had in Kimberley, all the kids were dressed in black and white. We buy them white t-shirts, white cap, and white tie. And this was because the first few competitions we ran, there are some kids that come from privileged families that can still afford to buy a Nike shoe, that can still afford to buy a proper training kit. And there is a child that you have to make sure that in whatever, from your families, whatever clothes that are not being worn, you have to pack. Each time there is a group coming, you know that there are specific kids that you're going to give these clothes to because they don't have. And to avoid the kids feeling small around the other kids and feeling that I'm exposed because I can't afford, because I don't have a Nike, so that means I don't belong into this group. Then we started buying them the rowing kit, which was black and white, same thing. All the kids look the same, and they are just the same during competition. So it is a cost to rowing South Africa to do that. And we bus them, we accommodate them, we feed them. And with rowing, you know that, I mean, any sport specifically, you have to eat certain type of food, protein, you need energy and that. And yet, with us, you have to eat at a specific time, you know, so that the food cycles before you throw up on the machine. You know, 2K, it's no child's play, and we want specific time for the kids. So we have to make sure that we provide for all of that. And the relationship between, I think this is the last one, the relationship between school sports, relationship between school sports and because in some of the areas the rowing is not recognized as a school sport, and in some of the areas some people know about it and some people don't, and obviously it is true, but you cannot stop. I mean, we know how the government demarcations are set and the structures as to affiliation. You have to affiliate to local, district, provincial, and all of that. And in the local, you must have reached so many locations for you to affiliate to a local structure. To provincial, you must have reached out of that. It comes back to budget for us. And we've explained this in Northwest when we went, that, you know, we in Northwest, we're in Mangaung. We are in Sir John's Court, which is part of the southern part of North of Free State. So we have covered Fezile Dabi. We've covered two districts in that area, but we're not recognized as a body that could have a provincial structure. Even if we are in these two districts, in one we have got four, in one we have got five clubs. You know, so we're still not, because we're not in in certain local municipalities. So it's going to take us a lot of time. But are we saying that should we not affiliate as clubs that we have currently in the local structures, or we wait until we affiliate, I mean, we are represented in all? And Kimberly, I was asked this question, that Kimberly has got four districts, if I'm not mistaken, and we are only in Francis Bat, which falls under Kimberly. We've had, as the provincial government, they host the big walk. So we went to Upington, we've introduced indoor rowing in Upington, which was great. But for Upington and Kimberley to compete, there is 485 kilometers in between. So there's transport issues. There's a whole lot of logistics, I mean, cost factor into that. So we said to them, are you saying that before we run a provincial and national competition, are we going to wait until we have reached out all the other municipalities? I said, we don't have a problem in reaching out those. We can do it just like that. But do we get funding support from these municipalities? We don't. And we said, if we are going to wait until we've reached 52 districts and whatever local municipalities that are there and the district municipalities that are there, that means the child that has started growing now will actually die. The passion will die. We'll just have to leave the code up before we can even get to district number 35. So we said, it's a progression. As we're growing, we're taking this program everywhere. But we must expose the kids to competition. Kids wants to win something. Kids wants to wake up and look forward to something. So where I'm standing, as someone that has been exposed to how it is on the ground out there, I come back and tell you that it's not easy to just start and not continue and not give something to look forward to. So this is where we are, and I hope I've answered all the questions. If I've missed anything, you'll just let me know. Thank you, Chair.
Sir, you want to say something before that? This is Sizwe who's going to respond. We have somebody who's very important to this committee today, who won a medal international in rowing, and now here he is. So I've seen that somebody just get in. I'm suspecting these things I used to call saying paparazzi. sometimes we really need them. Elvis is here. It's from Parliament. Somebody here leaked that we're having very important delegation today. Virginia being having 10 years in here, young as she is, and then our icon Sizwe, which is with us. So I'm suspecting Sizwe that even my staff, they do appreciate being you with us and the NRG were proud of you, both of you, and the other support was very important today, this president. So Elvis, we have a team here of visitors who are here from Rowing South Africa. They are giving us the presentations, and they wanted to equip us, and members have asked relevant questions, because the social cohesion in South Africa, we do get it from sport, and this sport is not familiar with some of us, being rural girls and boys, rural women and men. So we were so interesting that they must come. But today, what they've done to us, they came with very important leaders of tomorrow of South Africa. You see, when Virginia, young as she is in front of us, has been doing this for 10 years, and now, wow, see, so try to answer what you want to answer, and I don't know what, because now we've passed our time, which is allocated for us. Don't know where the committee, they want to take a photo with the citizen, but I want to. So even today we'll shelve our minutes, but we must not be harsh to our secretary. This is the second meeting that we are not passing what you call the minutes, but it was a very, very, very fruitful day, and your responses, we take care, and I'm suspecting you have noticed how do we feel, even where we criticize you constructively, saying that you must start, you have started somewhere, and you must get somewhere. So, Sizwe, to you.
Thank you again, Chair. It's an honor again to be here with everyone as well, and more than welcome to take pictures after the session. Just to go back to the sports science question, I know Sean answered that question, to just elaborate more, and I'm sure it will answer the other question as well about how long it took me to win the medal to get to 2012. Sports science is based in Pretoria at HBC, and we have doctors with teachers, psychologists, our coach overseas are there, so training for 320 days a year. You can't get sick, can't get injured. You can't afford to get sick, you can't afford to get injured. And so, if you get sick, the doctors are there for us. If you miss a day for us, a day is a lot. It takes you a week to catch up, and once training is missed, you can't catch it up, so you have to follow. There's more than four guys that you saw in 2012 in the medal. When we started the process in 2009, there were about eight of us. We were through a selection processes. And so if you get sick, that space of yours in the boat you lose, someone else gets put in. And to get back into the system, you need to fight, you need to get sick. So the system is there to assist the athletes to stay on your A game the whole time. So if you're sick, you see a doctor straight away. You don't get a doctor's note to say you're off the next day. So whether you are injured, leg, back, we still train on it's a hand bike that we do. We do swimming, you can't row because your back is sore, so there's always, you keep training. Psychologists are there. You're going through a struggle, you're battling, like obviously there's a lot of challenges, there's a lot of problems in life that we have, and I'm sure I'm one of those that had one of those, you know, going through that, with obviously having the financial strains, not being able to pay your bills. Psychologists are there to help you obviously focus on what you can control and what you can do, and they'll help you to keep you on your A game. And psychologists and physiologists. So if you get injured, again, physios are there to look straight after the, straight from the session you go to the physio, he looks at you, you can make a call right then, you can train in the session or not. So that's always there. And going back to Susan not making, obviously taken me 16 years to get into Olympics. If you look at John Smith, who was sitting behind me, it took him 4 years to get an Olympic gold medal. John Smith went to St. Albans. St. Albans is a private school in Pretoria. So I'm sure that brings a picture into your head. And prior to that, 96 to 2009, before I met them, the system was not there, the sports science. We were individuals. I went to Rao University, which is now known as UJ, and other guys went to Vith, and other guys were at UCT and Cape Town. We met quarterly when we trained together at Rodeplaat Dam. So there was no system and structure, but we always had a goal to go into the Olympics to make our country proud and win the medals. But that's the challenge we faced, and I can say that maybe that's also part of the reason it added on. And coming from Natal, well, for me, for coming from Natal, I had the fitness, walking the 20 paces school and that, so that gave the base of fitness. But the system changes every day. There's younger athletes coming into the system, they come into the system, they train with us, and young or old, if they're stronger than you, you get moved, and it keeps moving on. And then answering a question from, I think, the gold medal being treated like a king. I'm still looking forward to that. it's a sad one, and it still breaks my heart. It does bring me tears when I sit back and think of that. Still today, we still have, I still get those dark days. But irrespective of it all, I still keep going forward because I love the sport. And obviously, I had my own reasons to leave Newcastle and come to Montreal to get out of the situation we're in and create a better situation in the future. And I'm sure now we've inspired the young ones, so they have different reasons. Oh, Cesar can do it, I can do it too. I also want to be Olympic gold. And for me especially, I came from Penny Hands and Josiah Jungwana, who was a spare for a long distance runner. All other athletes got sick. And Josiah was pulled in and he went and won gold. And since I was grade 8, since then for me the goal was to go to Olympics. But I was right and I had no idea. So I had the goal to go to Olympics and have a better life and take my parents anyone out of the situation they're in. So that obviously there hasn't been any change. It got better, life got better. You go to speak to kids at different schools. That's a change that we always get to share the story and inspire the young ones. And few now and then a few corporate talks. But since then after 2030 things again went down and quiet. And obviously we don't have as Ryan is a small sport, we don't have media to get it. So those are the challenges we're facing. We still haven't had any sponsorships. I don't remember having a sponsorship. I think prior to the Olympics, the only sponsorship I had was Future Life. And also given to HPC, High Performance Center, which is under tax. So you get given free pub, that's what you call it, and it is. And that was, and a pair of shoes prior to that. And I think that was my sponsorship I've ever had. After Olympics, during Olympics, the free kits we get from SASCO that you wear. Otherwise, nothing. We carry on and just inspire the young ones and keep them going. Because I'm sure they want to do the sport and I'm sure they want a better life. So we keep fighting and one day it will get better. So we are still behind compared to the Europeans and other countries. I'm sure it's a torturous pace. Thank you, so I'm not sure if I missed any other question that I haven't answered.
No. Honourable members, there's nothing which is out. You know, sometimes you will be hearing that as politicians we kill each other when I miss an opportunity becoming a mayor, a councillor, a member of parliament. But here you are. You are an exemplar. Please, please, honourable members, give me a chance to talk. But here you are telling us that the question which was raised by the honourable Rale Khomo, who's a whip, that being you, Sizwe, that you have won medal in the international, you
Olympics, you didn't, you don't get any things. And we are good as you're saying that, not like Europe, but you didn't say that when in South Africa, we're not taking care of you, we'll just go back and sit at home and crying. We didn't hear you even in papers that you have been saying that, here am I, but you have decided to follow your career. Keep it up what you are doing. Like you, Virginia, we don't know why we are still here for 10 years doing what you want. We appreciate you, who you are. Please nurture them. We are a bit older than themselves once we are young. We are very exemplary. We are hardened our hearts. We always think about you guys, and we're always looking up to you in order that you must be role models of other young leaders like your good self. We don't have anything as the committee, except that we are doing the oversight. But we do appreciate that this day is the D-Day to us. With those words, thank you very much that you did come. You're always coming. We are looking forward that even other rural young ones like your good self, you know where you are coming from. But today we have a good story to tell. With those words, honorable members, I wanted that we must postpone our minutes because you have taken your time, because we are always like that, have a passionate about this social cohesion. And I know you don't leave stone unturned. Some other people who are coming here, they are thinking that you will be asking sweetheart questions. But you were so humble, even when constructively criticizing you. But you were just your good self. You answer questions and keep it up like that. The meeting adjourns, and I would love not to take photos with these three guys. And then even the committee, if they love to do, they have a right to do so.
Yes, young one. Hello, young one.
Okay.
Ooh. To make all the kids happy.
And to make her say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We don't have anybody, otherwise.
Okay, no.
Send my mother.
No, there's too late anymore.
It's a privilege.
Okay, let me do a selfie.
I just
do a
selfie.
Okay, so see you again. So nice.
I'm sorry. But I'm looking for my shoes.
Your shoes? You don't even know your shoes.
No, not since my... Well, days have I not known where my shoes are.
I have two pairs of shoes because when I'm coming, I do wear the flat shoes and then now I'm always having
blended. Oh, it's so much more fun to wear flats.
I'm a bit Asnando. Sune?
Yes,
do you think that you want this meeting real tomorrow or any other day?
Remember, next week is dicey because isn't that a public holiday in there?
At what day?
On Monday is public.
And then Tuesday?
And then on Tuesday is the public.
Yeah, so that's already, you have Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes.
So better to have it sooner than later because I must still apply. Unless you can be happy with email.
No, let's have it on Thursday. of this city court, the whip will be rushing us because they are the whip team. They have e-management on Thursday.
Thursday? Before or after caucus?
After caucus.
Because we could also have it before question time. Is there not
Yeah, but there's president. Let's have right at 2 o'clock. We'll leave the meeting. It's going to be myself and the whip is going to eat. The meeting is starting until 12:30. Let's have it 12 o'clock in my office on Thursday.
Yeah. It'll just help with the program that I can get it into Mr. Frelick.
Yes. Yes.
So, if you can start thinking about... Also, I have to write the letter to SRSA. They received the program a few times. I still haven't written exactly what they must come and present on the 29th.
Okay.
So, and they haven't sent us anything yet about the vacancies.
Mama. Hello. Go well. Love you guys.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
want
to greet you, but
thank you for helping.
Oh, yeah.
No,
but you're not going to be tonight.
What's your name? Like a pal, Eric.
No, thank you.
And
Tomorrow is question time. It's going to respond by 5 o'clock. Won't be finished. Yes, when there's a president, there's a president's question. I cannot. If they're setting at 5, by 5 will be still in there, and it's a presidential question, and we are just going to be calling the chaos.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't even want to go there. Yeah, well, I'm sure when I get to my office now, there will be emails, because they want us now to send everything in the morning. No, it's just, you know what, it's not crazy, it's stubborn. They don't listen, and they don't care. So I'm just going to mark it absent.
That's what I said, yes. But it's only my beaker that I know.
Mr. Moon? No, he didn't.
I didn't check my email.
No, but that just seems to me.
They do copy me.
Is it off? Is it off? Is it off?
Yes. Thank you.
No, I'll be able to see because I wrote down.